Hey, good morning, my brothers and my sisters. And what a beautiful morning it is. Look, we're getting ready to head down to the pavilion for our church picnic on Sunday. You're invited. Yay, you're here. Welcome to the Churchtown Church of God. Welcome to Turning on the Lights. Well, we didn't really turn on the lights, did we? I don't think we need to in the hallway, but it is the name of the program. So there you go. We're turning on the lights at the Churchtown Church of God, getting to work. Although I will not be working in the church today. Many of you know that my mowing day, since my dear, wonderful wife works all the time, is Thursday. That's not a bad thing. It wasn't a bad comment. There's my guitar. Boy, I took it for a tune-up. Just in time, the nut was worn down and the strings were cracking, and they needed a lot of fret work and adjustment. We don't want to mess with the tailor, do we? That's all I got for you. Have a good day, everyone. No, I'm just kidding. I'll get you on the tripod here, and we will check things out. The fans are turning slowly. In the directions that I want them to turn, I had to switch them up on Sunday because they were it was chilly, right? The mornings are chilly. So there's a different, like when you wake up in summertime and it's 80 and you go into an air conditioned room, you're like, oh, relief. But when you wake up and it's 55 and you go into a room that's the same temperature, like 66, 68 degrees, you're like, it's cold, you know, so it's a different dynamic and it's just your body playing tricks. So you just got to mess with it a little bit. Got to keep everybody happy as you can. Good morning. Good morning. 48 in Vermont. It was only 57 here. We've had a couple 48, 47 degree mornings here at the Parsonage last week, but it's progressively getting warmer now this week. So that's it. It's going to be a beautiful day today. I got to get a chainsaw and saw up some wood. I've got to get my mower out and do some mowing. It is my beautiful daughter's birthday, so we're going to go visit her at work. And there is a public sale across the street, and they are going to be borrowing the parking lot for that. And the church is getting a new refrigerator, so we got a delivery coming for that sometime before 1 o'clock. Busy day. It's always a busy day here at the church. Again, if we had a class and like if I taught a pastoral class, I would say you need to be prepared for, you know, what is happening here or what happens at your church on a daily basis. We had an individual hospitalized yesterday along with all of the other church work type stuff, and then writing devotions and preparing for Sunday and all of the physical things that you're dealing with. I don't know if you are the pastor of a small church, but you don't live there, maybe you don't have the same dynamic, but I'm wondering how that even works because like I'm here and you know, everything funnels through me immediately. Now, I have a lot of help, don't get me wrong. But because I'm here, everything funnels through me immediately. So, I don't know. I would be very interested in talking about that and figuring that out. My mission is for those who are called to exercise their pastoral and teaching and expository preaching gifts to be able to do it for a long time. And I had to learn and am learning that as I move along through this journey that the Lord has put me on the past 13 years now. And before that, into the calling and into the education and seminary and all of those things. And again, I just watch person after person after person leave. Church after church after church has nobody in the pulpit. And, you know, selling empty properties, not even calling them churches anymore, in the denomination and in the region. Like, what's going on? Certainly, perhaps, the Lord is not calling as many to exercise those gifts. I don't know. He is sovereign, perhaps. But perhaps those people are not exercising their calling, not responding in kind to the Lord's calling. And there's a reason for that. We're wrapped up in economics. We're wrapped up. We're not trusting in the Lord. I could sit and tell you so many stories of this journey into ministry that when it happened and I was about to leave an amazing career as teaching with all of that money and all of those benefits and the climbing the ladder and all of that stuff, and I was about to just walk away from that for as much money as I made, less money than I made as a short order cook. It was impossible, right? It seemed impossible. We had to live in our own home. We had to rent the parsonage. We just thought all of these things. We have to do all of these things to even make it remotely possible. And the Lord said, you're not getting this at all. Trust me. And we're reading that through, in church on Sunday. Now this Sunday, we're going to take a different tack because it's the picnic. But we've been reading a lot from the Gospels and a lot of Jesus's message when he demonstrates his sovereignty over the physical, over the spiritual, over life itself is, why do you not have any faith? Good morning, Sandy. Do you not know who I am? Have you not seen? Have you not witnessed? Have you not heard? Do you not believe? And Kelly and I, we learned that. I won't say the hard way because he was very gentle with us. One impossible situation after another was resolved miraculously. Economic situations, logistical situations, church situations. When I first became the pastor here, it was craziness. And the Lord just worked. And he made happen what he wanted to happen. I'll tell you a quick story. You want to hear a quick story? This is just one. So We're living on Tanger Road in Boiling Springs in the old farmhouse where we live. And we're thinking we've got to live there because, we've got to rent the parsonage. We've got to rent the rental. The church is in the red. We've got to do all we can to gather as much money as we can. We've got to have bake sales and we've got to have yard sales and we've got to have sub sales. We got to keep the church, all of this. Well, that's not what the Lord wanted. We rented to an individual who turned out to be like the worst tenant ever. And we knew that living over there in Boiling Springs, we just felt it. And we had confirmation from faithful church members who said, our pastors always live in the parsonage. I'm like, well, we can't. The Lord said, yeah, you can. So he made that person to turn out to be the worst tenant ever, wanted out of the 1-year lease. And we said, okay, you're gone and we'll move in. We moved in and we had this house and we still had the mortgage and all these different things. And we're like, what are we doing? And so we went to sell our old farmhouse, site as is. We didn't fix it up. We didn't do anything. As is. And the real estate agent came around. The Lord had given me a figure that was the precise figure that we needed to sign off on all of the debt. The real estate agent came around, took a look at the house as is and went, okay, well, what are you thinking of selling it for? And I told her and she kind of laughed and rolled her eyes. And I said, that is what we're going to list it for as is. And she said, okay, but don't hold your breath. That was in November. We had ice, we had snow, we had trees and limbs coming down all around the house. We get a call in January. Brian, you're not going to believe this. I said, try me. She said, somebody from Arizona saw your house online, wants a farmhouse fixer-upper with a little bit of property, and bought it sight unseen for the exact amount that we had asked for. Things like that happened over and over again to make everything possible. Father, we pray that your word will be heard today, will change hearts and minds, your kingdom will grow in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, next Tuesday, I'll try to put up another little message, but next Tuesday, I'm not sure about turning on the lights, at least in the morning, because we have an Xfinity appointment somewhere between 7:30 and 9 for an internet upgrade. So we've been working with that. So that's Tuesday. Now you got to take it. If you don't take it when they say you take it, then you're out of luck. Hi, Ryan. Hope you're feeling better, buddy. Oh my gosh. Everybody's praying for Ryan. He's not feeling well. Got some things going on. We pray for your good health, Ryan, your speedy recovery, that the medicines work and that the Lord works inside your body in Jesus' name. Amen. But you know Xfinity, Comcast. Right? That, it's like saying Voldemort. Like it's the name that it will be unspoken. I tried to get help for my cable the other day because all I do is get these wacky lines. Like, we pay, what, $1,000 a month for cable? I don't know. We get all these wacky lines. So I call, like I always used to do, 1-800-COMCAST. You know, you have to jump through 17 hoops to speak to a person. I never spoke to a person. I spoke to their AI assistant. So what I'm going to do is to take my cable box into the Xfinity store. So dealing with Voldemort isn't easy. But next Tuesday, like I said, maybe we'll do a later turning on the lights, but that we're getting an internet upgrade, which we hope overall will be a good thing. We need more bandwidth. We need more upload speed for all of the live streaming that we do. So we're talking about 1 Corinthians. I'm talking about the pastorate. I'm talking about pastoral life. And I have been for a little bit. I've been throwing that into turning on the lights because why not? One of the things that Paul teaches is that there isn't a separation between those who exercise the gifts of teaching, preaching, like I said, and leading, and those who exercise every other gift that has been given to the church, from administration to hospitality. There isn't a separation. There are delineations of responsibilities, but the idea that I'm in charge is an idea that is not valid. The idea that I lord over individuals is not a valid idea. The idea is, the concept is, the teaching is that I am exercising gifts that have been given to me. And they include a little bit of administration, a whole lot of teaching and preaching, and overseeing. We see this word overseer, overseer, time and time again in Scripture, overseer. And overseeing everything from pastoral care, individuals who grow ill or individuals who need counseling, pastoral care, you know what that is, to internet installation. And what the point is, like, I'm working for the Lord just like we all are. And we're accountable to Him first, and we're accountable to one another. Because we all know the truth of the Word of God. Thus, we can hold one another accountable for our behavior as well as for what we believe. So that's church. And we get a real flavor for that when we look at the early church, when we look at the home churches, and we look at the way the letters were distributed and read and how people learned then what church looked like and sounded like. And one of the things that Paul, we talked about on Tuesday, is Paul says, stop following the people of the church. All, they're just individuals. Me, Apollos, Timothy, whomever it may be, we're just people exercising the gifts that God has given us. So there are many times throughout Scripture, from John, we just read about, you know, bowing down and worshiping Daniel. And that, get up, don't worship me. I'm just a person. Not that people would worship me, but this is the concept. Worship only God. And that's been the theme for the past month here at Churchtown. He alone is worthy. So that's, and Paul's trying to get that. He's trying to get that information. He's trying to straighten out the church in Corinth. One of the things that he teaches first, right off the bat, is that you can't follow the wisdom of this world because God has turned everything upside down. Your faith in him will make you or have you witness and experience life differently. You may witness and experience miracles, large and small. You may witness and experience evil. You're like, whoa, for the first time I recognize evil because now I know what good is. So he talks about that right off the bat. Get it out of your head that you're sitting in a classroom. You're in a congregation. And congregation is completely different. And it's along the lines of what we described. He moves on to say, one of the big problems that you're having is that you're following Apollos, you're following Paul, you're following these preachers, when all they should be doing is exercising the gifts that God gave them. If they're doing anything more, remember that you don't lord your power over individuals as secular leaders do. You're a part of a congregation. We're taught that in Scripture. If they are, they're being very, very sinful. We see that all over the place today. All over the place today. Internet preachers and whatever, whomever may want to be doing it, they want to be the master of their own kingdom. And that's a problem. Paul's teaching against that. Paul's saying you're heading down that road. We don't really have any indication that the teachers are beginning to behave that way. But the people are gravitating toward the teachers and saying, oh, yes, I won't listen to any preaching over here. I follow Apollos only. He's like, you've taken that step. Remember, you take that one step. It's like aiming an arrow. That's what sin is about, missing the target, right? So you've aimed a little bit over here, just a little bit. But by the time you get to the target, you're way off course. He says, your aim is off. Let me correct this first. So we talked about that. Now I want to talk about this in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. It's about where we let off. And now he's going to see. He talks about you don't follow people. Anybody who builds upon that foundation based upon what people say, anybody who builds a church and a foundation that it serves people, right? That should not be shocking to you. And that's part of the greatest heresy, greatest problem of the modern, particularly modern evangelical churches, is that we independently create churches with the intention of serving people. You go, what? Isn't that supposed? No. Churches are created for serving God. God will serve the people through the church. It's a little, again, that's a little part of that aiming, right? We're aiming differently. We're building a church. We're going to create this church. We're going to plant this church. And we're going to serve people. It's going to be all about people, relationships, family, all about people. We're going to give people everything that they need. Well, we should be creating, planting, building a church, starting a church in order to worship God alone. Now you submit yourselves as followers of Christ, unified by God's Holy Spirit, and you begin to discern what God would have for this church to do. What is God's will for this congregation? And it is, like I said, as I believe individuals are gifted, I believe collectively God gifts congregation who are bound by his Holy Spirit. I know for a fact that one of the gifts here at Churchtown is intercessory prayer. It has been since the moment I stepped in here. It just is how God has designed and why he has brought these people together and has done nothing but blossom and grow and become something that it binds us together. And we feel, if and you're allowed, feel satisfaction because we're living in God's will and doing what he's asking us to do. We're praying. And we're praying a lot. So he says, you got to stop with all of that nonsense of the secular world and put your faith in God alone. God will serve the people of the congregation, and God will serve anybody that the congregation is supposed to serve through him. Faith in him first. So we're going to pick up in verse 16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? So I'm not making it up. It's right here. God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. I just got to stop here because that speaks a lot to the battle of good and evil, to the spiritual warfare that is constant. And the spiritual warfare is designed on the part of the opposer of God's will to destroy the image bearer of God. Don't you know, as we are created in the image of God, the opposer of God's will, the Satan, would love to get a hold of that person before they ever hear the gospel and get them and just take them. They got them. Right? The opposer of God's will, whether that person is a believer or a follower of Christ or not, will constantly seek ways to destroy that individual, whether they're just, quote unquote, an image bearer or whether they are an adopted child of God. Constantly, the Satan seeks to destroy from the inside out or from the outside in the womb or outside of the womb. Mentally, physically, emotionally, destroy the image bearer of God and the child of God. This is something that is all throughout the scriptures taught to us. And yet it is something, good morning, Dale. It is something that we are a little bit light on. Well, maybe we're a lot light. And I will say, not so much here at Churchtown. We're talking about who we are, what we believe, why we believe it, and understanding that we are engaged. This is not a cruise ship. This is a battleship. We are preparing every time that we gather together in his word, in prayer, in music and song, and we are worshiping him alone and seeking his will for our lives. We are aware that is the strengthening, that is the learning and the growing and the becoming, that we may go. Learn, become, grow, go. And the warfare is constant. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Because you have the Spirit of God in you. He's speaking to the church, professing followers of Jesus. This is of particular interest. I always say Satan has no interest in a dead person, right? A spiritually dead person. He's already got that one. Satan has no interest in a spiritually dead church. He's got that one. Boy, everything will seem hunky-dory and fantastic in that church because there will never be any opposition to what you're doing because you're really not following God. And Satan's like, yeah. And God's like, please. Stop deceiving yourselves. That's our title this morning. If you think that you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are, hear me now, worthless. So don't boast about following a particular human leader. For everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death and the present and the future, everything belongs to you, and but you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. When you are indwelled by God's Holy Spirit, you are become a member of the kingdom of God. Your inheritance is given to you partially now, fully upon his return. You have everything because you have Christ. You are in Christ, and Christ being God is in God. And there you go. There is that message that Jesus constantly goes back to in his teachings. Why don't you believe? Why don't you have faith? He actually calls his disciples on several occasions a noun, which basically translates to little faiths. And usually you'll see that, oh, ye of little faith. He's actually calling them little faiths. You little faiths. Kind of faithless. He says, you faithless generation. How long must I endure you? Wow. The humanity, the deity, it's overwhelming. And part of what is overwhelming is how he teaches and he teaches and he lives and he ministers and he does. And we want more and we want more and we want what we want. Christ is not enough. Well, Paul is saying Christ is enough for the church. Christ is enough for the church because Christ is the foundation of the church. Remember that from the beginning? The gospel is the foundation of the church. The truth, the message. Christ lived, Christ died, Christ rose again. When you gather, if you do nothing but preach Christ and him crucified and risen, you've done your job for the day. Grow. And he says that. He says you should really go back and get back on spiritual milk. Because you are lost. You're losing yourselves. Morning, Andrea. Let us know how you're doing. Chapter 4. So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ. That's what I had said before about pastors of churches, leaders, elders, overseers, who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. Woo! On the one hand, you say, okay, well, he's got a lot of faith in God. I do not seek to be judged by the people of this world. On the other hand, you hear the weight of that responsibility, because who will he be judged by? Who will I be judged by? Who will any teacher, proclaimer of the word be judged by? God. We are servants of Christ, to be sure. We are exercising our gifts in the congregation like we are. Every congregational member is called to exercise their gifts. But like I said, there is delineation of responsibility and purpose. And if I've been given the gift of expository preaching, if I've been given the gift of teaching, if I've been given the gift of leading and pastoral care, that's a responsibility that I am answerable to only to God. Now, may he hold me accountable through the individuals of the congregation? Absolutely. If I'm getting off on the wrong path, if I am preaching something that is not true, if I am acting and behaving erratically and wrongly and incorrectly and immorally, His rebuke may come in the form of the congregation or individuals in the congregation. But ultimately, that final breath I take, the judgment will be well done or not. Now, as you move, every follower of Christ, guess what? You're responsible for the same thing. I'm just speaking from my perspective. You can look at your perspective and speak from your perspective because the same truth is true of you. Remember the bags of silver? How many bags of silver have you been given, and what are you doing with them? Because when the master returns, and that is when he either returns while we're still here, or whether you see him after your last breath, question is, what have you done with your bags of silver? Have you done well or not? Have you followed God's will or not? It really boils down, right? Have you lived in your giftings and tried to honor God with the gifts that he's given you or not? All right, final little passage. Because this, I said, that's my perspective, right? When I talk about the responsibility that I feel and I have, because this is what Paul says, as for me, I can't speak for you. You listening, you watching right now, you listening on the podcast, whatever, I can't speak for you. You need to get in the mirror and speak for you. What are you doing with what you've been given? How are you living up to the responsibilities that the Lord has laid on you? Primary responsibility, following him. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Dear brothers and sisters, I have used Apollos and myself to illustrate what I have been saying. If you pay attention to what I have quoted from the scriptures, you won't be proud of one of your leaders at the expense of another. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is of God, why boast as though it were not a gift? Faith, submission, understanding. You think you already have everything you need. You think you are already rich. You have begun to reign in God's kingdom without us. I wish you really were reigning already, for then we would be reigning with you. Instead, I sometimes think God has put us apostles on display like prisoners of war at the end of a victor's parade, condemned to die. We have become a spectacle to the entire world, to people and angels alike. Our dedication to Christ makes us look like fools, but you claim to be wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are now, but you, excuse me, we are weak, but you are now, but you are so powerful. The lines run together on the, I really can read, but it's a hump of the page. We are weak, but you are so powerful. You are honored, but we are ridiculed. Even now we go hungry and thirsty, and we don't have enough clothes to keep warm. We are often beaten and have no home. We work wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. We appeal gently when evil things are said about us. Yet we are treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash, right up to the present moment. So you want to be a pastor? Be a pastor, they said. It'll be fun, they said. But again, Paul is speaking from his perspective. And though that's not necessarily my perspective either, although those responsibilities do fall upon me, if I am in a position that is a very hostile environment, Daniel, right, and King Nebuchadnezzar, are you going to cave? Are you going to give in? Are you not going to live as a Christian? Are you not going to share the gospel? I'm called to do that no matter what. From being ridiculed and looking like a fool to being beaten and enslaved, whatever the case may be. Right? So that's part of that calling. And guess what? As a child of God, you are too. Good stuff today. Good stuff. Right? Yeah. Once you, and at that, we started saying, what can we do to prevent people who actually have this calling from just not answering, not responding in kind, or from dropping out, quitting the race? One of the things that we can do is tell the truth. And we can say, your strength will come from the Lord. Although you will feel as though the world is dumping its garbage on you, you'll be all right. Because you are in Christ and Christ is in God. And the foundation of what you're doing is that Christ lived, Christ died, Christ rose again. In Jesus' name. Church picnic on Sunday. If you didn't sign up, I don't care. Come. There'll be plenty of food. Come and hear the outdoor preaching. Great music. Great food. Fellowship. Come on. Come on down, as they say. Or if you're in North Carolina, come on up. We'll see you at the picnic. And remember, next Tuesday, I don't know, because that's when Voldemort is coming to install new internet in the church. So we'll talk to you then. Lord, thank you for the time that we got to share together this morning. Thank you for your inspiration as we went into your word. In Jesus' name, we pray for the health and well-being of all who have watched, who are listening now, as we move forward as sons and daughters of the Most High. Lord, grant us the strength and the inspiration to live our calling as you have commanded. Amen. God bless you all, and to all a good night. God bless you all, and we'll see you in church.